This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I could give you all a virtual hug. I cannot wait till real physical hugging comes back in vogue. Or will it ever? So here's my virtual hug to everybody who's listening to this show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Boy, we have a lot of heavy things to talk about. So, again, could we please start on a high note? And there is a high note for you. When you look at what's happened in the United States, in particularly what happened in Atlanta, what happened at the supermarket in Boulder to start off the week, it was really, really sad. And lots of people telling me they turned off anything that had to do with that because they listened, they wanted to be informed, but then they had enough because they felt so depressed, so sad, and so awful for the people who lost loved ones in the 10 who were gunned down in that senseless violence. But, you know, there are rays of hope. And when I say there are rays of hope, we're seeing that some businesses are bouncing back. We're seeing that some businesses are realizing that people are burned out, that despite working from home, they're getting Zoom doom because they're constantly in the middle of these meetings or on the screen or whatever it might be. So there's always lip service that's given to, you know, a work-life balance. I mean, what is work-life balance? And Citi, who has a new CEO, is doing that, is talking about take the vacations, and they're going to give a day off to people in May. And they're saying that on the weekends, yeah, you're not working outside of the normal times you would work because that's what's happening, that people, there's no office to leave. So people are working way more than they should be. And this new CEO realizes that and realizes that it's not good because you do have this extreme, you know, burnout that's happening among a lot of people in a lot of companies because they're just never seemingly off the clock. They're running around doing something, getting something, sending lists, whatever it might be. You know, I don't have to tell you, if you work in a corporate job, you know exactly what I mean. So I say bravo to that. That's a good thing. If you can find work-life balance when life is upside down still for all of us, that is that's a goal, right? Really, really tough. Really, really tough. So, you know, once we get to May and then we have the holiday, right, whatever that holiday is going to look like, Memorial Day weekend, which normally is huge, people on boats, people at beaches, people at lakes, people just taking some extra time off, people hanging with the family, gasoline might be a little bit steeper. Have you noticed this, that it's a little bit higher at the pump? So an average of $2.87 a gallon over the past week. The national average for gas prices during the same time last year, you know what it was? $2.10. So that's regular, by the way. 25% increase. And we already know the states with the highest prices, right? For all of you listening in the great state of California, boy, you really, for that view that some of you get, you really take it on the chin. I lived in California, so I know. $3.86 in Cali. In Hawaii, and that's not a surprise either, because think gas, getting to Hawaii, going to those islands, $3.53. Just take a scooter. Ride your bike. $3.53. Washington, $3.31. Yeah. And the biggest increases, a lot of you are listening to us. In fact, we have listeners in all of these states, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Louisiana, and Florida. So big peaks happen. I mean, you can always check out the prices yourself if you go to gasbuddy.com. They've got all the prices. It's kind of neat to watch it to see where it goes. Neat or depressing, depending on how much gas you use. Now, that's one thing. I start off talking about city and work-life balance and what the new CEO is saying about that and concerned about people working extra. The one thing that has happened for people who are working from home, which is a big swath across the United States of folks, you're not using as much gasoline, right? So there you're probably, in the past year, if you wanted to look for the silver linings, like the happy song, there's your silver lining. You probably saved a bunch of money in gas, maybe even parked a car, so saved on insurance. I know that we talked about that at the very, very, very beginning of life being changed in March of 2020. All right, in the meantime, what's happening with vaccines, and we're going to talk to somebody about the coordination of vaccine sites coming up next. We're going to talk to Nick Frenzer from Epic and what they do to organize these sites, and how do you equip and assist 100 mass vaccination sites across the country with the technology you need to vaccinate more people. So we'll chat with him about that. And that's helped, because that was part of the problem in the beginning of the vaccine rollout, how to get on, what if you didn't have a computer, what about older people, finding ways to figure out how to get on the list in the first place, and were you eligible, and everything else in between. And now it's about, there's more vaccines available and still getting on this list and getting the appointment and all of that, but the vaccine rates. So communities around the country are working hard to overcome mistrust and improve access, especially for people of color who don't want to, it's not everybody, but who in surveys and in looking at communities don't want to get vaccinated. So there's people that are out there talking to people, you know, grassroots recruiters who want to boost those rates in Chicago and in other places. They're going and talking to people and informing them about the vaccine. But I think if people are leery about getting the vaccine, it also depends on the people in your group. So the people that you know, the people you hang with, and what they're saying, and if they're getting vaccines, because let's face it, we are influenced by our peers. A conversation with Nick Frenzer coming up next.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Remember, 24/7, you can hit me up at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We've been talking about COVID-19 vaccines a lot here on the show. In fact, more than 40 states say they will meet or beat the president's May 1st deadline for vaccine eligibility for all adults. So you think mass vaccination sites, they have the capacity to vaccinate large numbers of people every day, reaching some pretty vulnerable populations. But it's been a big challenge to be efficient and ensure equitable access to the vaccine for more patients. So these sites require medical and logistical expertise. You can imagine what a nightmare that can be, as well as the right technology. So to increase that access, health systems are partnering with healthcare software company Epic to equip and assist more than 100 mass vaccination sites. Wow, think of that undertaking across the country with the technology needed to vaccinate more people. Nick Frenzer joins us, and Nick is an implementation executive at Epic. Nick, wow, that what an undertaking. That had to be crazy at the beginning of this.
Figure out a way to quickly expand capacity for surges across the country that in many cases were very necessary. And since then, we've been focused on how do we make the software as fast and easy and equitable as possible as we approach the vaccine. And that's where we are right now.
So how can the people who are qualified schedule a vaccine appointment at a mass vaccination site in their area?
So most people are more familiar with Epic as MyChart, which is our patient application. You can access it on a website or on your phone, and that's what communicates directly with your doctor's office, or in this case, over 140 mass vaccination sites and growing. So signing up for a MyChart account is the easiest way to get notified that a vaccine is available in your area and schedule it with just a couple of taps on your phone.
Yeah, has there been, and I mentioned this, has there been an increase in access to vaccines in some of those underserved and rural communities?
Absolutely. And, you know, in addition to MyChart, which is a fast way to do it, we have to recognize that there are folks that don't have access to the internet or may not be technologically literate enough to use MyChart. So in those cases, we help healthcare organizations hold off appointments specifically for those folks and find other ways of reaching them, whether that's local community organizations, phone outreach, in some cases multilingual phone banks that can reach out to people so that we don't leave anybody behind. And then beyond that, we have to recognize that mass vaccination sites are going to reach a critical mass where there are folks that just can't visit them. So we have to get out into the community, and we're helping by providing software right on your phone for a clinician who's out administering the vaccine, maybe in a church or a jail or a homeless shelter or out in a mobile van, so that they can do it very quickly to speed the process, and then so that that patient now has an electronic record to communicate with their doctor about it and show they were vaccinated.
And Nick, this has to be exciting for you to watch this grow, because as I said, it's overwhelming when we first figure out, oh geez, how do we do this? This is your job. You're the experts with the software and connecting people. And now when you're seeing things start to smooth out a little bit and you're hearing the stories of more people that couldn't figure it out and couldn't find a way to get the vaccine, that has to be rewarding for you.
Tremendously. Here at Epic, our mission is truly to save lives. We feel a strong calling to do that. And, you know, I have to acknowledge that we're not the ones putting the shots in arms. That credit goes to the clinicians that are on the front lines every day. But what we can do in IT and through process is double, triple, quadruple the number of vaccines that are delivered either out in the community or at a mass vaccination site. And that's really what's going to help us get to herd immunity, both at a community level and in the country.
Yeah. So, Nick, where can people go to get more information?
So if you don't have a MyChart account, go to MyChart.com and you can enter in healthcare organizations near you, and we'll direct you so you can sign up for an account. That's really going to be the fastest and easiest way for you to get notified. From there, you can also go to VaccineFinder.org, which we've been collaborating with the federal government on to provide availability in geographic areas. So you can just tap in your zip code and see everybody providing vaccine around you.
All right, Nick, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So I talked about these mass vax centers before on the show, like some of the places we're seeing stadiums, like Glendale, Arizona. There's a mass vax site there, and a lot of people have gone through, and it's worked, and it's been pretty smooth from what I understand. Governor Jim Justice from West Virginia said everybody in the state vaccinated. That should be our goal. One of the five states where everyone 16 and older is already eligible. That's how great they've done with this right from the very, very beginning. And I mentioned Arizona. In Arizona, we have people listening to us on one of our great affiliates in Tucson. So many people email me from there and have talked about being vaccinated or being a little concerned about vaccinations. That's KVOI.com. They have great info on their website about everything that's going on, period. But anyway, in Arizona, everyone 16 and older became eligible this week at the state-run sites there. In Tennessee, universal eligibility was set for April 5th in New Jersey. They expect that they're going to hit Biden's May 1st goal. I mentioned Texas, Indiana, Georgia. They've got universal eligibility dates for late March. And Louisiana and Idaho moved up the date for their states that eligibility would be expanded to those 16 and older. In fact, Louisiana set it Monday and Idaho to April 5th. And then Alabama, Minnesota, they say they're going to meet it too. So that's great with this timeline and what's happening, you know, what's happening there. And again, the eligibility and that being moved up, and it has varied from the very beginning because of the rollout, how the rollout was, the rapid expansion of the eligibility. We got about 2.5 million doses of vaccine that are being administered across the country each day. This is info, by the way, from the CDC. About 26% of the total U.S. population has been fully vaccinated. The Food and Drug Administration authorized the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for use in people as young as 16, while the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines can be given to those 18 and older. So whatever happens here with the pandemic, about 50, 55,000 new cases and 1,000 deaths each day is what we're seeing. The number of new deaths, though, the good news, is continuing to fall. The thing that's worrisome, of course, is the variants, and case numbers seem to be a little bit higher in the Northeast, and they've had new outbreaks, health departments in Michigan and Minnesota and some other states, and the country surpassed more than 30 million cases, according to one database that I was looking at. So, again, the caution is being urged. This is nothing new that we haven't heard from Dr. Fauci about, but about the national level of new cases and the pace of the vaccines, though. I think that, but then the concern about spring break and what we saw, like, in Miami and the possibility with new cases plateauing. And, I mean, at this point, can you say victory? We've definitely turned a corner. I mean, I think we definitely have, and Fauci would say that, and I think he has said that, but it's like they're cautiously optimistic, I guess, that this herd immunity, the possibility of that. And that's why, you know, the logistical part of getting people to the sites, because that was certainly, you had to be like a vaccine hunter in the beginning of this. That was the concern for so many people with their family, their in-laws, et cetera, older people who weren't technology savvy. And how do you get them on the rolls? How do you get them to sites so that they can get vaccinated? And then we've seen now, like Nick said, that there are other ways, and that started to happen, and people are finding those ways to do it. So I feel good about the herd immunity. And therefore, with the freedoms of what people are deciding they're doing, if we hit that, you know, 70-something mark, that 80% mark, and more people opening, you know, their mind to the idea of the vaccines, I feel more optimistic, I think, than I have felt in a very, very long time as to the process and to what we are seeing. And many of you have reached out to me. In fact, you've asked me, some of you have asked me for help and where can you go and in your state. And I've been able to steer some of you in the right direction and given you some resources. So that's all good. All right, stay with us. Coming up, Gary Bateman. Oh, yeah, you're going to like Gary. Interesting guy. He's been around the world and then some.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Drug maker AstraZeneca is revising the data from its American COVID vaccine trial. The updated report revises its shot's efficacy in preventing symptomatic cases of COVID-19 to 76%. A release on Monday claimed the rate was 79%. The report does still say that its shot is 100% effective in protecting against severe cases of the disease. Several U.S. health officials had called the company's data into question, accusing AstraZeneca of cherry-picking data to make their shot appear more effective. and one of the world's busiest trade routes remains blocked after an enormous container ship ran aground on Tuesday. The Panama-flagged Ever Given is nearly a quarter of a mile long and weighs 200,000 tons. Officials believe the ship became wedged in the canal after losing control due to strong winds from a sandstorm. The blockage could have an effect on world shipping, as canal officials say it could take several days to restore the flow of traffic in the canal once the Ever Given is cleared. This is USA Radio News. The Biden administration has begun releasing data on the number of unaccompanied minors being held in custody on the southern border. In the first of what is said to be daily updates, the administration said that more than 16,000 children were in the custody of Customs and Border Patrol and Health and Human Services. The root cause that drove all of those children to illegally cross into the United States is President Biden, according to Senator Ted Cruz. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that the issues at the border are a direct result of President Biden's immigration policies.
Just last month in February, there were over 100,000 illegal aliens. They've got over 15,000 children held in cages right now. And all of this is the direct result of political decisions made by Joe Biden and his administration. When Joe Biden became president, he halted construction of the border wall, he reinstituted the failed policy of catch and release, and he ended the Remain in Mexico policy, and that has resulted in this crisis.
This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Germany to speak with Gary Bateman. He's written a book called Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry, 2014 to 2019. You know what's so interesting? We were talking off the air, and he's going to have some shout-outs to some people that are also involved with his work, but 1,000 poems? And reading his book, it's a kind of book that you can pick up at any point, I think, at any moment during the day. So that's what I love about his book, about this poetry. And it's so big. There's so many things that he talks about, and there's so many different types of poetry that are in this as well. So he's not a one-trick pony, and that's not a surprise, because I could talk all day about his crazy career, his interesting career. Two major careers in the military, speaks like 5 languages. Absolutely, you know, so fascinating. Gary, thanks for coming on.
Sure. Glad to be here.
So first of all, before we dive into the book and the poetry, just kind of a synopsis of, wow, 5 languages. When you jumped into the military career that you had and you've got those degrees, et cetera, did you think it would take you to the places that it took you?
Well, no. I mean, it's like most people in high school, I did very well and then studied German. I did Spanish and then picked those up again in, when I was, of course, Latin, but I picked all that stuff up and carried it over to the university time and, still studied. I actually took more Spanish courses then. And then, later after I, entered the military, I was, had a chance to go off and learn Russian for 2 years at a famous institute that's out in California. Any person that's served in the military knows what that institute is, the Defense Language Institute. But then from there, I had a chance to branch out and had a chance to work overseas in Europe. My German became very, very good at that point. And then again, picked up some additional training. And that's kind of my background. I even had some time in Italy, though, too. And Spanish helped me, but not entirely, because Italian's still different. So, yeah, that's kind of the thing. And again, I've always had that lifelong interest, and that has carried over into my writing. And it's helped me to go places with my writing that some people that don't have that background would probably have trouble with.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you're in all kinds of great, poet societies and groups, etc. And I said you've written 1,000 poems, and I'm sure many more to come. So how do you pull, and you have another book that's already out, too, Conversations with My Muse. And so this one, Reflections in the Mirror, how did you decide what you were going to put in this book? How did you pull apart and lay out the poetry?
Well, okay. Well, it actually started with my first book because I had that listing of poems, and then I had a second part of or a second chapter. They called them parts, but I prefer for it like being a chapter. And it was like a witch's tale that I did on the evil dark witch from the Harz, Rosalia, the evil dark witch from the Harz Mountains. Okay, and that was more of like a short story type or a narrative type poem. But that was where I was getting my feet wet, learning, like, what do I want to do? Because I have a couple of those other narrative-type poems that appear in this bigger book, the second book. But I used that as kind of a guide point. I mean, that was where I actually started doing it. And I had some people ask me a thing, though, too, about the writing. And the deal is that, like, for someone like me, or for anybody that does this, they always wonder, well, how you do it? Well, you have to sit down and plan and think about what you're going to do, but you have to really want to do it. You have to really want to write, because I've had some times when I was writing, for example, and just be very brief on this, I would get stuck on something. I'd come back to it, and I wouldn't let it alone until the words came to me. And it just takes patience. Sometimes the words flow out, and sometimes, well, you got to give it a chance.
Yes, so well said. And I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to hear some of your poetry, because I think it's personal, and I think it's interesting, and especially the two that you pulled out for me. One of them is The Present. The other one is Radiance of Our Love So True. Would you do those for us, us the honor for everybody that's listening in the United States and listening, of course, in other parts of the world?
Okay, I just have to find them here. Let's see. That was
102 and 103.
Oh, okay. You're up on me there. It's good that we have those numbers. The problem is this thing's like a 102 and 103. Okay. Well, then, okay. There was did you want to hear The Present too or not?
Let's hear The Present.
Okay. The Present. Now, again, to preface this, I wrote, as I mentioned to you before, this is actually was done in a trio with one that I did. I have The Present, the past, the future, the never will, the might have been, that sort of thing. All conditional type of poems. Okay, we'll do The Present first. This is a heroic couplet that is set in iambic pentameter. And again, it's the couplets consist of each stanza or two lines of poetry. And in this one, there is seven couplets. So here we go. This is The Present. A fleeting moment in eternal time, and ever progressive in real time. One's now moment, then in history past, now in motion moving to future fast. My words become history when I write, no need to worry, I'll make them right. As the past is present progressive, then the past then follows, now so possessive. The night stars are passed in a mere eye blink, their images not part of present sync. A constant portent of events to come, as we each live now in what will become. Give me your hand, for this moment is it. Let's seize now this moment and live in it. So that's The Present. And I wrote that back on right after Christmas Day, December 26, 2014.
Wow. Bravo, that was well done, and it really can take you to different places, I think. And then the other
And of course, there's so many, as you said, it's just a tomb of wonderful poems that you can pick up at any moment. But one that you also did for me that I thought was great, because, you know, poetry is about love and is about meeting and is about how you feel. And you know that. And you've got a great one, Radiance of Our Love, So True.
Okay. And here it is. I'll cover it then. And this one was written in on December 29th, 2014. And it is in the format of a Shakespearean sonnet. Okay, so the radiance of our love is so true. The radiance of our love is so true. From the first time we met, my dearest one, I saw your eyes, felt your joy, and I knew that no one else but you could be the one. Our first embrace was so warm and intense, and we sensed everything felt nice and right. And we kissed deeply, feeling no pretense, as we strolled on that wondrous starlit night. Our hearts and souls have melded now as one, with our emotions afire, my dearest. Our love and life's journey has now begun, and we must keep us ever so nearest. We have radiance in our love so true, and pray to God for his divine love too. And that's the radiance of our love so true.
Wow. Well done. So interesting, the directions that your poetry takes us. And you said to me, you know, there's some collaboration here. So I wanted to give you a chance to give a couple of quick shout outs to some of the people that you've worked with. And there are some names that are up and comers, or names that I think people in poetry circles know.
Sure. Well, these are people I care. I'll just read this because it's a short section for the acknowledgments. I write here a special thanks to my very talented fellow poets and colleagues who read written some co-written poems. Again, most of the poetry is done by me solely, but these are people that I've worked with over the years. But okay, special thanks to my very talented fellow poets and colleagues, Annalise Andresen, Ingrid Krugenberg-Bateman, my wife, Donna Lohman, Michael Clark, and Liam McDade for their collegial efforts on the various co-authored poems we have worked on together that are now part of this book. Okay.
Wow. What do you hope people take away from reading any of your poems, but especially picking up Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry from 2014 to 2019?
Well, okay. And this is one thing that I have in an introduction. I use the classical old Latin term, the exordium, which is, there are some writers that do that, but it's introduction. And I talk about that very subject, about reflection and reflections in the mirror. And I'll give you a couple things here. On the second paragraph, I point out that poetry as a true expressive art, it is, speaks to a greater and all-encompassing spirit, which represents a profound sense of enlightenment for mankind and contributes to our shared common humanity. Poetry should leave the reader with a sense of fascination and wonder. It should serve as a source and an intellectual repertoire for a deeper personal inner reflection. And I could go on and on, but there is one part I want to point out. And this thing I'm going to quote is at the very end of this introduction, the exordium. And it's part of a poem that I wrote and that's in the book called Reflections in the Mirror, the same title as the book. And this is what I wrote. These are actually my words. A mirror may reflect much more than any mortal shall ever really see, whilst revealing timely images of the past, present, and future yet to be.
Wow. Perfect place to end this. Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry, 2014 to 2019. You will thoroughly enjoy this. Gary Bateman, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kate. Appreciate the time and opportunity to talk to you about my book.
Kate Delaney here. Facebook has already connected over 2 billion people to authoritative COVID-19 information. As access to COVID-19 vaccines expands, Facebook aims to help bring 50 million more people one step closer to getting vaccinated. KX Jin, head of health at Facebook, is here to tell us some helpful hints. What tips do you have for us today?
Not only are we working to inform people who want to get the vaccine, We're also working to share real-time trends in COVID-19 vaccinations, intent to get vaccinated, and reasons why people might not. Knowing this information means health departments and agencies can speak to the real issues and concerns that people have, and hopefully lead to more people confidently choosing to get vaccinated.
Where can our listeners go for more information?
If you want to learn more about all the ways Facebook is supporting the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, just search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app to explore.
Thanks, KX. So again, search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app for more information.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Show some really headers. What are people talking about in my backyard, your backyard, and other places? Well, we saw what happened January 6th, the siege on the Capitol. You know, it's been 77 days going into 78 days, and finally the fencing came down around the Capitol. Boy, that was heartbreaking to me. I felt like we were in Venezuela when I looked at constant shots of that. As somebody who, we took the show to Washington year after year after year, and one of the great things about our country is the fact that you could go and watch what was happening. You could take those tours through the Capitol for what it's worth, and representatives often would meet with constituents, and, you know, really, to me, it's one of my earliest memories as a kid, as being a 10-year-old and seeing all that history, and it really reverberated with me. I think had a little bit of a piece of what I'm doing now today. So anyway, that fence line that was strung together, especially with that horrific razor wire, has been removed from the outer perimeter of the Capitol. This is, you know, after 2 months. The Capitol Police said that local streets were blocked by network of barriers. They have now also been reopened to traffic, but they're still prepared to quickly ramp up security if they have to. So making sure to put that out there that, yeah, just because we took this down, trust me, we are ready to roll if we have to roll. It's interesting because the House and Senate still has to debate what security options to pursue and how much they're going to spend. The fencing, you know how much that fencing costs? The fencing costs, ready for this, $1.2 million a week. $1.2 million. So, I mean, the access that was there before, it obviously restricted everybody, locals and visitors. And now, so the removal of all that, I think, is good, and it's about time it had to happen. And we'll see how much is spent on security and what it looks like in the future. But you're certainly not going to see that razor wire and the blockades that
were there, I think that's a good thing. I'll tell you what else I think is good. It's not good what happened. It's heartbreaking and sickening, and it's just even difficult to look at some of the video. But in Boulder, after that tragic shooting and the police officer, Eric Talley, who answered the call and was there to help right away and, of course, was gunned down, he was really honored by the people of Boulder. People lined the streets to honor him. People were outraged by that. There have been flowers all over the place. There are flowers that sit on a Boulder police car outside the Boulder Police Department after what happened. And I mean, it's just covered in flowers and notes and all kinds of things. And, you know, he's 51 years old. He was 51 years old, a father of seven who was just responding like he had done so many times in his life to a 911 call and got there quickly. And sadly, you know, that's what happened. But again, I think it's wonderful to see, and I'm not surprised, the outpouring of people, again, lining the streets, putting flowers out, and doing what they could. And by the way, lining the streets, hundreds, because there was a hearse that transferred his body from the coroner's office to a funeral home, and people were putting their hands over their hearts and holding American flags. And again, the officer was one of 10 people gunned down when a gunman opened fire in that Boulder grocery store on Monday afternoon, and he was the first one to arrive. And you know, there you go. By the way, that police car that's parked outside of the Boulder Police Department, it's his, and it's turned into this shrine with the wreaths and the flowers and all that sort of thing. And really difficult for the people as they watch that, you know, because it's just a few days later, really, if you think about it. And, you know, how tough is that? Well, of course, we've all have in common, and people listening in other places, is what's happening with the pandemic and how it's shook our world all the way around. In the United States, we have about 540,000 plus deaths overall in the past year and change. And now the question with the vaccine becoming widely available is, where do we go from here? And what about people who aren't getting the vaccine? What if companies are trying to reopen and pull more people back in instead of remote work? So this vaccine eligibility expanding has created these questions for companies to offer incentives. So a lot of companies are debating whether to mandate vaccines. 70% of current or recent CEOs of major companies said they were open to requiring vaccines. There was this poll that was done by the Yale Chief Executive Leadership Institute. And, for example, Scott Kirby, the United CEO, said, "I think it's the right thing to do for United Airlines and for other companies to require vaccines to make them mandatory." But, you know, depending on the industry, some employees get gift cards, some are offered free rides to vacation sites, some are just paying their employees to get vaccinated. For example, Aldi, you know, the discount grocery chain, you may have it in your area, they're saying they're going to give their hourly workers 4 hours total of PTO to get vaccinated, and they're saying they're not going to get in the way of the employees' work or pay. American Airlines, people who get vaccinated get an extra day off next year and $50 in an employee recognition program. And they're saying, you know, the CEO of American, David Seymour, is saying, "I think from our standpoint, we're highly encouraging our team members to go out there and get the vaccine." And they're not the only one. So, you know, it's like Amtrak. Amtrak is giving employees a bonus of 2 hours of pay when they show proof of their vaccine, excusing absences for those who get vaccinated during work hours. Kroger's doing the same thing. Kroger employees get a one-time payment of $100 if they show proof of a vaccination. Workers who don't get the vaccine for religious or health reasons can take a health and safety course and get the payment. So they're taking it even a step further than that. And there's a lot of restaurants that are doing different things to encourage
the vaccine and to reward people for getting the vaccine. And I think this is just the beginning of that discussion. It's like the discussion about how many people are staying, who are going to stay remote, and how many people are going to actually work in an office, because so many just completely cut off the office and very few people were going in. So now those decisions will have to be made. And, you know, a lot of employees are weighing in that they like working from home. And then others are saying that it affects what happens among the people because there's no, you know, there's like a heavy burnout and there's no socialization where normally you'd be running out to lunch and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, that's the discussion. Trust me, it's happening everywhere. I mean, it is. It is definitely one of the top, I think one of the top questions that companies are asking themselves. What can we do and what should we do? What's right for, you know, us to do? All right, stimulus. You know, this, we got the reprieve for people who are filing taxes in May now. You don't have to file them in April, which is good news for some business owners, entrepreneurs, I think. And the stimulus checks, payments have been set out to 127 million people so far. You may have gotten your stimulus, or maybe you're not eligible for the stimulus, but either you got the direct deposit or you got the checks. But the checks were the thing. The checks were behind the direct deposit. So pretty interesting to see what I'm looking at, where people are talking about what they did with their stimulus, and a lot of people are spending it so that props up the economy, right? I mean, they're spending it on different things that they wanted to get for their family, etc. And then others are spending it on desperately needed items, from food to something for the house to paying a mortgage to paying other bills. So that is a good thing. I don't know if you've noticed this. This is not a good thing. You know, we always panic when the prices go up at the pump. The national average for gas right now for regular is $2.87. Yeah, that's according to the American Automobile Association. So this time last year, $2.10. That's a 25% increase. You know what? It's always, when I go to California, it's always eye-popping to me. Cruising around California, $3.86. Hawaii, $3.53. Washington, $3.31. Some of the biggest price increases last week in Utah, Idaho, Montana, Louisiana, and Florida. I guess the demand is there. And the demand for gasoline is there because people want to get out, especially if it's getting warmer in some areas. And I think just from the whole pandemic, that's part of the deal, right? But jumping up that much, I don't think they don't think it's going to reach $3 a gallon. They're going to think the surge is going to go that high, but we'll see what happens. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Once again, make it count, everybody. Delaney here. Facebook has already connected over 2 billion people to authoritative COVID-19 information. As access to COVID-19 vaccines expands, Facebook aims to help bring 50 million more people one step closer to getting vaccinated. KX Jin, head of health at Facebook, is here to tell us some helpful hints. What tips do you have for us today?
Not only are we working to inform people who want to get the vaccine, we're also working to share real-time trends in COVID-19 vaccinations, intent to get vaccinated, and reasons why people might not. Knowing this information means health departments and agencies can speak to the real issues and concerns that people have, and hopefully lead to more people confidently choosing to get vaccinated.
Where can our listeners go for more information?
If you want to learn more about all the ways Facebook is supporting the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, just search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app to explore.
Thanks, KX. So again, search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app for more information.